calls back to general order while we're waiting on Tammy to get here.
There was a question came from Roden Bridge. In our cleanup this weekend, do we take boats?
Yeah.
We have.
We have in the past.
Yeah, that's fine. Are they good boats?
No.
We could save them for you.
Big
I brought home, you haven't worked one yet, I know.
No.
Let me explain something to you. You're still the new boy. The deal is, sometimes county commissioners go and hang out and help a little bit, unload stuff and this and that and the other. I've missed it the last time or two, but when you go, and there's a very good gentleman's type agreement that's unspoken, that there are things that are thrown away that are perfectly good. And I came home one day with a trash compactor,
uh-huh.
and I still have it in my garage.
It works.
Years ago. It works. Even had sacks in it.
Uh-huh.
And my wife was not happy with me. But,
so that's why it's still in the garage.
But my point is, that was a lot of extra words, but my point is, you could go work over the weekend, and you can look at the boats that come in, and you might want to take them home.
You know,
because it's okay to do that.
I kind of wish I knew that last year, because it was an election year for me, and it may have helped me. But now that I'm already here, I don't know if I need to.
It is a good
Are you going to do that?
I run one every year, but last year I didn't go one day. But let me tell you something. It's a very good way to meet the community, and you're there, and...
It's just a lemonade.
Yeah, lemonade.
It is a very good way to... they may ask you a dozen questions, but most of the time they're so busy getting through there, they don't even care about it. They're wanting to get their trash unloaded, so it's... But it is a good PR move.
And the,
you guys can try to sell. I know.
I'm not selling anymore. I'm just telling you that it's one of the services the county does that's very much appreciated.
Yeah.
And lots of people.
So
the bottom line is, on our conversation, boats are still okay to bring.
You betcha.
Yeah. I know they...
We won't take the Branson Bell.
Anything smaller than the Branson Bell? Okay. Sorry to keep you waiting. Jim got wound up and we had the day and I had to...
I know, it's really hard. Hard to have him wound.
I'm wound.
That wasn't all true.
I've only seen him wound really tight when Century tells around, so...
Hey, could you tell me about that?
I only got wound one time.
I didn't.
Yeah.
All I know, that's about all I know right there.
But guess what? Now it's all fixed. It's amazing. It's amazing how all of a sudden... It was all our fault. The meeting started with, you missed the time. Well, then they turned around and said, it was our fault.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, in 24 hours, it was all fixed. And we didn't do anything more than we did. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Well.
Amazing. But I was wound. That was the woundest I've been. That has been another time, but I won't tell you who it was with. But.
All right. Ready?
Sure.
The floor is yours. We'll try to keep on safety.
I guess this is just an update other than Century Tell. Although part of the issue would be, that I've been working on would be the phone tree.
Mm-hmm.
Been working on that. I've got a suggested kind of start to an idea of,
Can I give a little clarification for these guys?
Yes,
so they know what's going
absolutely.
On? What we have is, remember, we now, when anybody from here dials long distance to Branson, our phone system intelligently takes it and routes it through the airport. Well, that airport number is now 332-1900. What we're trying to do, what we have the ability to do, is let those people from that side of the county call free of charge, local, but come this way. Well, if they call this way, the first question is, if they dial 332-1900, if we don't have a phone tree, which is automated phone service, who answers the phone? Because we're expecting thousands of calls. So right now, the thing that Tammy and I and Central will be working on is a possible phone tree where it comes into a main number here, and then you can say press 1 for the clerk, 2 for the commission, for those people to be able to get to an office, because otherwise someone's going to have to be responsible for all those calls coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because we can't have, like we right now, the 546-7204 is ours, 7200 is downstairs and all that. And part of the thought is take 7200 and make the main number with the phone tree. which we may offend one elected official, but that's the most logical number to be the main number that we would tie the phone tree to. That makes sense? Because right now, a lot of people are calling the clerk's office. The phone traffic is way up. And it's going to get worse if we don't do a phone tree.
And that's due to the caller ID.
Because we're exposing caller ID now.
7200. And then they call back at 7200 and say, what do you want? And who called me? And it could have been any number of our offices. I mean, it could have been all, you know, any of us.
I wondered just a second. This new 3232-1900, the extra calls that you're talking about recently are not coming through yet on that. That's just...
Not coming that way. No, the reason that she's
going to...
You got one this morning.
Yeah.
You're going to start getting more of those.
Okay, the ones you're talking about are coming in because 7200...
Is our caller ID information now.
I'm with you.
And talking to CenturyTel and just talking to other people, the 546-7200 really should be the main county phone number. It really should be so that we can have a phone tree. So if people don't know who to call, they can call 546-7200, listen to your options, and go from there.
Okay, but the phone tree thing, if we do this where it can come from Brandon here, that number is going to be 332-1900, right?
Right. Correct, but it's still got to hit a phone number over here.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So basically, it's a funnel.
Yeah, we're going
to
make a...
And then it goes reverse funnel out to the number choices.
Yeah.
And that's, Gary and I were supposed to meet last week. He was not able to meet. He was ill again. And so I just went ahead and made these as just a starting point idea. And that...
He's not going to be.
Okay. That was just my starting point idea. Like I said, I haven't been able, and then I think Gary had a small surgical procedure done yesterday, so
yeah.
I wasn't able to cover this before, but I have sent this to him.
This is different than we talked about.
It is. I talked with Darren. We sat down for several hours and talked. This is, like I said, this is just my first idea. This is, you know... there was some logical choices that are already done. We've got phone trees out there already. So these were some ideas of what we had. And then nothing is done yet. I mean, nothing is completed yet.
Okay. This is, I mean, it's the first time I've seen this because we talked about something completely different. Because there's press one for clerk, two for sheriff. Based off of the volume of the calls we're getting in, but it looks like you're calling one for clerk.
Well, we were trying to... One was still for clerk. We didn't change that. What their idea was, do you want to break it down? And that can just be not. I mean, those can be crossed off. This is completely just an idea. Emergency services, what I was trying to come up with was... Where do you put us? You know, do you put us under county departments, which would be anything under the county commission, but are they going to think of 911 as being under maybe the assessor because they're thinking mapping, or are they thinking emergency services, such as that? So we went with call volume to start with, and what I did was I took the call volume and kind of went with the... One through, we didn't have to use 8 and 9 unless you specifically want to move something. But I took the call volume like we discussed, which was county clerk, sheriff's department, courts, and things like that. And then we broke it down from there.
Well,
so this, you know.
I mean, if I'm an auditor, I would say I don't like being under other offices.
Right.
If I'm an elected official...
But we didn't have enough room for every elected official because I tried to do that. And we didn't have a number. If we were to do the first name dial by directory, what that is if you don't have a clue as to who you're calling, but you know that somebody named Jim left you a message to call him back and you don't know what office he works in, you can push in, you know, J, basically, you can do 7 and push in J, and then you can get all the J's and maybe, you know, or if you know, I'm calling Jim, you know, whatever. That was that. And then the zero default we discussed.
Let's go to the clerk's office.
Right.
Because most people are used to calling that number.
Anyway. If by some chance you get some of, like my grandmother, I'm going to use her as an instance because she wouldn't have a clue as to do all these phone trees. She tells me all the time, I can't do phone trees. And she's got to press zero. And they've got to go somewhere. And so that went along with the number one or the number zero. It would go to the 7200 caller ID.
I would put the county commission, I mean, we get a lot of phone calls. I would put the county departments. I wouldn't know what it's got. If I was unsure, right. I wouldn't know to hit county departments or other offices.
Right. And we just, when I went through this, I was trying to think, okay, one discussion we had was the other offices, what the thought was there's an awful lot of thing. Yes, maybe Rick would want to be number eight, but he's mostly an internal office for the county use. And so that's why when we had discussed who is more of an internal call-to-call. So this was just the first one. Also, something that was brought up to me by CenturyTel is the first up here. We really need to, for liability reasons, need to say
if this is an emergency, call 911.
This is an emergency, hang up and dial 911.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that was on there.
Is there a collector up here?
No.
I must have just...
I don't know how you can check call volume, but...
See, that's and then another thing.
I don't know what the call volume is of the court offices. I mean, that would be, for me, a subcategory because I don't think we get a lot of call volume.
We actually do.
Do?
We get a lot of calls for, I'm going to court today and...
But that, we're trying to do, just kind of, you know, we're not getting rid of anybody else's phone number.
No.
This is for people who don't know how to get there. This is for the direct lines will still be the direct lines. This is for that main catch-all of, I don't know, and they're just calling around.
Yeah.
And like I said, this was just an idea I have not been able to get with Gary because we were going to meet and we were going to discuss it.
Right.
And then bring it to you in a meeting about that. But I know that you've been wanting to move forward on this, and so I felt like bringing it up here tonight or today was a good time to do it.
The 332-1900, that's a done deal.
Okay, the question mark at the time was,
we,
I didn't know.
We approved that, and it's all part of that expenditure, so we're good there. Mm-hmm. But the question is...
I wonder where I dial that number.
It doesn't go anywhere right now.
Right,
it doesn't.
I thought you said
well,
we got a call this morning.
Yeah, I did go somewhere. I called it.
It hadn't before.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be activated.
It was activated last week. I called it last week.
Darren may have done that.
County Clerk's Office.
Thank you. Bye bye. This is Jim up here in the Commission Office. I was just checking something.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. So he fumbled it over.
He must have fumbled it over.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But that's the new. Yeah. That's the new.
And it's a toll free number for
the
girls
were looking for me.
Right.
And they.
You missed a call, and so you called it back.
And in between these numbers was this 322-1900. So I thought, well, it must be that they're in a location, so they want me to call that number. So I dialed it, and I got the court's office.
He just turned it on.
Okay.
So
that's funny.
Unfortunately, you're going to get more phone calls even yet now, because now that 332-1900 is coming back this way.
Maybe your wife could put back on. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm a bad boy. You want me to bend over and throw rocks at me?
I think Jim's going to. I'm just going to sit here quietly.
I don't want to say something so bad.
Hey, it's hump day.
Okay.
I want to say something.
Well, I don't, just the first glance on this, I don't like it. But I don't know whether, I just have to look at it to see if I could make any different improvements. Whenever I called the courthouse, I hate the situation that we have now where you dial 7200 and then you got to push 1 to get the auditor. Or
well, it's not that number. It's 7210.
Or 01 or...
But anyway,
yeah, one of those.
There's those two, and then if that's not who you're looking for, you're just lost, you know.
We can hire a full-time receptionist as operator.
That is the... only other option is an auto attendant, you know.
I think Greene County has that.
It really,
it's great customer service. It's great customer service. Mm-hmm. And it really is, but the problem is you're going to have to have two because
right. There's
just too much. That's too much work for one person 8 hours a day. You've got to give them some breaks.
Right. And it's got to go somewhere if nobody answers.
It's still got to go to a phone tree.
And I know we haven't hit all the details, and apparently I forgot Sheila, so I'll get, you know, slapped for that. But
is there another angle?
We've got a phone tree or if we got a person. That's the two options. Because you've got to have a name, number. We decide where the 332-1900 is called, who answers it.
So the 1900 cost us $26 a month.
26 or 36,
something. Yeah.
Right, 30-ish.
And that gives
people from Branson, Hollister, Ridgedale, Kirbyville, it's Kirbyville, Love Hammer, all those areas, Branson West, nothing to care about.
So 417 long distance to Forsyth is basically what that amounts right. to.
So humor me out here a minute. So in the past, if you're from Branson, and you're calling to the courthouse, mm-hmm. you go to the phone book, mm-hmm. and you look up the number, and you direct dial one of our offices.
Right.
And pay a toll.
And pay a toll. Right.
So.
And the reason we're even looking at this is because we're going that way now free.
Right. And I'm all excited about it. So the people in Branson that are going to be using the 1900 number, one reason they'll use it is because somebody's called from the courthouse to them,
yep.
and they've identified it, and so they think that's the number, that's what they call.
Correct.
Otherwise,
it's going to be in the phone book.
It's going to be in the phone book next time.
Which is for local calls, Branson Hollister, for local calls to the courthouse, or for Branson Hollister residents, for local calls, dial this number to the courthouse.
Well, before, and I'd love for us to, if I wasn't so stinking frugal,
uh-huh.
I'd love for us to have a real person answering the phone. But that costs lots of money. Mm-hmm. We'd be better off to buy some more 3-3 numbers, direct numbers, in other words, commission. The collector, the auditor would have a...
Oh, my. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm trying to think outside the box.
Why would it be impossible?
Not impossible. Well, we'd have to change the equipment out on that. It's not impossible. Once we did all the financial impact of that, because we were talking about it, because what, not the technical, but what we're doing is taking a phone, an old technology phone switch, putting it over a data network, which is our computer system, and then deconverting it back over on this side. And there's limitations on those devices. So you buy the devices that does the conversion based off what you think you're going to grow into. And that would add...
So these phones couldn't receive a message from a 546 number and a
334 number. No, it can't. It's not correct. It's not the phone. It's the devices that does the conversion.
And we'd have to add...
We'd have to expand those. And those are the...
Capacity.
Well...
Okay. All right. I trust that it was fun going.
In my old technology world, we did that, and we can do that. But the thing is, financially, if you remember, there was an expenditure just to add to justify to go toll free that way. It was going to take 16 months to pay for it. If we were to up those devices, it'd be closer to 7-8 years.
Okay. All right. Thank
plus
you.
The monthly
cost. You're holding your lips, or you're about to...
This is the cheapest way to go about it. It's just the
most frugal for Chuck.
Who wants, you know, who you want to be put in which area. If that's...
Now, we could, I'm going to throw something out. If you wanted to experiment, we can just leave it the way it is. Let the clerk answer it.
See how it works.
Well, I already know. You're getting.
Yeah. They're getting overwhelmed.
Really?
And I'm hearing about it.
Really?
And I'm Why telling them, we're working on this.
She's phone lady.
I'm phone lady. Why am I getting these calls? Because it's being worked about. You know, the.
Okay. Is there? There's no one.
Now we can do something if you wanted to make everyone pay the piper. We could rotate. We could probably add it where every office here in this courthouse is responsible for 2 hours of answering the phone, and we have a person answer the phone.
Wow. The equipment would alternate.
It's possible. I know it's possible. We just have to turn some stuff on. It's possible.
He knows. I don't know.
The clerk would do it for 2 hours and then transfer the information, then the collector. And
yeah, it's possible. We did this for a school system in Arkansas.
You can
do it by month. You can do it by a couple hours. We did it by in the school system because they didn't want a phone tree. They thought they did, and after they got it, they said they hated it, so they made different teachers and different administrators' departments answer it on a schedule. Because really, a receptionist is 2 hours, they need to take a break.
Right.
That's really the rule of thumb.
Gosh, we could do it less than that. We got how many offices? We could cut it down to an hour.
Well, I think that would be an awful lot of programming.
It's a lot of programming.
Yeah.
It's not,
but even
it's
if
a lot
your
of
office.
Information for that person, too. After it would take a while for somebody to call in and you're unfamiliar with it for a month. For you to say, I mean, you've got your list there, but you say, okay, I'm looking for the extension.
But I mean, we
or I'm looking for somebody in some office. Because a lot of times they'll call and they'll ask for somebody's name instead of asking for the office.
Mm-hmm. And that's why
the phone tree dialed my first name because.
That's why we had the first name directory, is because usually I'll answer the phone, this is Tammy. Or, you know.
One thing for sure is nobody can come in from the outside and say that we don't think outside the box, because that's what we're doing here.
It's exactly right. This is all in the name of making it more efficient, financially efficient for people to call us.
Yeah.
We're making it so more accessible, more open government.
You bragged on that this morning at that meeting.
A little bit.
I was proud of it.
Yeah, we needed to do some things.
Yes! Hallelujah!
I won't go back.
Getting deep in here.
We were going to be. We're talking about some. Let's digest this and maybe have another meeting coming up real soon.
Okay.
If we do that, could we ask maybe the clerk's office to document how many times they get calls coming in from 332-1900? I mean, is that possible, or is there any reporting that phone system can our system can get?
I will ask Darren. He's here today, and I will ask him. He's working on Judge Justice's phone right now.
So maybe just 332-1900 inbound calls. He might be able to report on just that to kind of tell us what the volume is.
Okay.
That'd be good.
Okay. Okay. All right.
What will we schedule this?
In the 911 world, October 15th, I went to the first meeting ever of the Missouri 911 Directors Association. It was the first meeting ever, so there was 81, I believe, directors and their immediate staff or county commissioners. There was different people there. But it was an incredible meeting. I think it's going to be a great association. I think it's going to be a great thing for technology and 911 advancements and just everybody working together. Mainly the discussion was getting more funding for the cell phone calls and systems. So that was the main objective of that. So that's real big right now going on.
You're excited about it.
Very excited about
cool.
it. The next meeting is December 2nd. So, and all the meetings are in Jeff City because they figured that that's where the legislators are. And should any of them be invited to meet with the group, then it would be easier to get them there.
Easier to get them there.
Sure.
So who was thinking out of the box there to get this going, you say?
I am not really exactly sure who started it, but I just know that there was a bunch of people discussing things, and they just kind of went from there and, hey, what if we meet? And it just kind of exploded, and the room was packed. We'll have to find a bigger room this next time, and but that was in Jefferson City, so it was awesome.
What else?
That's all I've got, except for, well, budget. Yeah, I didn't know if you were ready to discuss any budget issues or.
Have you let Rick know what your?
Yes.
Okay, we actually going to have a budget meeting Friday. Do you want to have some time on that budget with us?
I don't really need time.
Okay.
I only asked for or estimated exactly what I see the needs are. I know that I've cut it as far back as it looks like I can. There's some times where something will come up, and fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, it's not GCR, so it's able to go over in one line item. Training was bigger this year because we've had a lot of people leave and come back for 911 operators. So we had to do some training this year that had not been budgeted, but fortunately we have, you know, the extra money there to do that. And, you know,
so you're saying your budget you gave to Rick is as skinny as it can get?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Unless we stopped paying half the salary for one of the employees in the IS department and one of the employees in Road and Bridge, which they do our GPS, GIS work, mm-hmm. and the road signs, that we split the cost
sure.
for a salary with one of them. And, of course, that would just hurt them.
Right,
it
would hurt.
And it would hurt their departments. So, I mean, it would gain us maybe $20,000 or so because
but they'd
of...
do the work.
But they're going to have... We need somebody to do it anyway.
Right.
So it's either do that or have another employee.
Okay.
So if we got a question, we'll call you. Otherwise, don't
absolutely.
Worry about it.
Just know it.
I don't necessarily feel a need to meet with you, but if you want me to meet, I'm more than happy to do it.
At least you know you've looked at it, you've cut where you can cut. And
I've
we know
absolutely.
To look at it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's... And one thing Judy is looking at, and she's been working on really hard, is the... what they're called CLECs. LEC is like CenturyLink. It's now CenturyLink.
Right.
And CLECs are the competitive local exchange carriers, which they used to refer to them as mom and pop or Jerry Springer phone companies, you know, the ones that they would advertise for $24.99 Vonage and things like that. But she's actively working on going after and finding the companies that are out there because they do pay us money. They're not cell phones, but they do pay us money equal to the amount that CenturyTel pays us per month.
New Vox is in town.
Yes, we've already got them paying.
Yeah.
We've got several more. As a matter of fact, that's at 153% of the budget, which we estimated we would get. And but she's actively looking for them and hunting them down. So
great.
It's really improved the revenue in that regard. So as the CenturyTel... As people drop off of CenturyTel or CenturyLink, their phones, a lot of it is economy driven. You know, they don't have amount of money or enough money to keep a landline, so they've gone to the voice over IP, which is the computer generated phone systems and things like that, or the internet driven phone systems like Vonage, $24.99. But we do get money from those kind of companies. And so we're really actively pursuing them because they are required to pay us the revenue, and so it's really we may lose one, but we are gaining in others. And now if we can just get the CenturyTel thing fixed and or not CenturyTel, cellular phones
reimbursements,
and get some money from that.
That's great, Shepard.
If we can get the cell companies to start paying us, then we'll be doing great. And since we're the last state in the country that doesn't have it, that's kind of bad. And that's one of the reasons that they put together the 911 Directors Association, is just to try to brainstorm all of us together. And they feel like it's a bigger presentation or presence to the legislators when we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
So, and that's, like I said, when you stepped out, that's why we're meeting in Jeff City, because the legislators are right there. So
Griesheimer, that's one of his pet projects, has been pushing for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's indirectly involved in this association,
because
he wants to get it resolved.
Yeah.
Hey, say thanks to Judy. People do stuff and you don't think about it. Like, at least I don't. Last night we had an issue down at the sewer project, Ozark Beach.
Mm-hmm.
They closed the road. Long story, you don't need to get into, but they called Judy.
Mm-hmm.
For the ambulance and mm-hmm. fire department and all those
they
places.
They called every day.
And I didn't, it hit me that
mm-hmm.
that's part of the job y'all do. So
every day they call before the end of the day, usually around 4 or 4:30, and they tell us what roads are going to be closed that night and mm-hmm. then what roads are going to be closed the next day. And she's been sending out road closures mainly to the emergency agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So every afternoon, somebody from Larry Snyder and Company will call us. And so that way we make sure that the emergency agencies are
okay.
well aware of what's going to be closed.
That's
and
great.
Things like that. So
we had a report, and Hooker just picked up the phone, called Judy,
mm-hmm.
get a call yesterday. Yep.
So,
we're making sure that the emergency agencies know, you know, the detour routes and what roads are going to be closed because of, you know, we got to get them there. Something that came up today, and this will be good information for you guys to have should somebody ask you. As of January 1st, they're requiring addresses to be on all boat docks. And actually, Judy was on the phone with a guy that called for his address on his boat dock this morning. And the Water Patrol, she called and talked to the Water Patrol, and what they're doing is they're not requiring us to name, 101 Table Rock Lake or anything. We're not naming or numbering the boat docks that way. It's the nearest physical address, not even your own. I mean, it doesn't have to be yours, but if you own a boat dock, say, next to Jim's house, I don't know, whoever lives on the water right there, you will post on your boat dock the closest address, the closest land address, so that way that they know where to access it from.
Or send the ambulance or whatever.
Exactly. So that might be some information if for some reason you do get asked about that or you hear them talking about addressing boat docks. The highway or the Water Patrol is saying that we need to get the closest land
the
address
address
for them to, and they do have to mount it on their boat dock.
So if Jim's house is the closest one to the boat dock,
mm-hmm.
his address is going to be that address. Is that going to cause a problem?
No, because they're not going to get mail there. They're not going to get, it's just for 911 purposes.
And you'll know it's a boat dock, and so you're going to say closest address is here, so we're going to go that direction. At least we know where we're
exactly.
going.
Exactly. And that's going to be the closest
physical
address. And basically
that. Problems, I guess, with
mm-hmm.
that.
It has.
To go
and they're making a requirement January 1 for them to do.
That's good.
Now, we're going to get a lot of calls asking what the closest address is, and we'll be telling them from that. And then she's planning on working with Tanya, who
mm-hmm.
does our GPS work out of the IS department, on GPSing every boat dock as they call in and question, because we'll need to have that. I mean, there are some phones in boat docks, not very often, but there is, and so they're really pushing that, and so it's a requirement now.
Cool.
Any other
wonderful. Thank you.
Issues? We'll get together with the phone tree information.
Okay, well, if we don't get that posted again here in a day or two,
okay.
you might call one of my girls and ask them to remind us.
Okay. If you have a chance to look at it.
Yeah.
figure out who's going to yell the loudest?
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Letter of support.
Let's go do Randy. I got the letter of support stuff here. I just
okay. We'll do Randy first.
Go ahead. It's all yours.
I got three items. First thing is dirt agreements. Frank wants me to get approved. And
dirt agreements.
Dirt agreements.
I'm drawing the blank.
Help me out.
Where we dump excess dirt that we got to get rid of. Okay. We got to get an agreement. So,
yep.
This one's for 124 wheel drive road, Hollister, Missouri.
Okay.
I haven't a clue where that one's at, actually.
So that's Clevenger. That's all Clevenger Cove where we had such fun.
Oh, we.
Oh, that's where we. That's back. Where. Yeah. Right. That's where we got rid of some excess. When we was doing that project. This one I know about. This was when we done the water line on Casey Road. The city let us dump excess stuff we didn't need on their property. I got one for Marilyn Goldman, 230 Blackhawk Road.
Right off of Bird Road?
Not real sure. And then I've got one for Oakmont.
Out there, okay.
At 2308 State Highway 86, Reachdale. And I'd say the west side was doing work out there and used Oakmont's.
Make a motion to approve these four dirt agreements.
Second.
Discussion.
Aye.
You get to sign them all.
By the way, I got a phone call this morning from a fellow out there by the dirt pit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're cleaning that up.
We're back working on it, trying to finish getting our grade reasonably close. And then, as long as we got dry weather, we'll try to get that finished up and done.
He was very happy. That's all we were doing.
Okay.
Yep.
Next two items I've got is we'll start with the Lightning Springs. I got a call from Lynn Cleaver. It's been a while back, and he recently purchased some additional property off of Lightning Springs Road close to where he lives. This being Lightning Springs Road that runs down to this junction, continues on down to the lake, and it turns into Thunder Road, and it comes back to U Highway at this location. This is where Lynn Cleaver lives, and he bought this property here, this 80, and he gave me a call, and I agreed to meet him, and he wanted me to look at it. The place, when he bought it, didn't have any fence. The previous owner had took down, he'd done a lot of truck gardening, different things, greenhouse, and had electric fence on it. And he called me and he understood the county would do fencing if they would give right away. So I went and looked at this, and I said, that's what we normally do. We would put in fencing if we need to acquire right away to do road improvements. So I looked at what areas he was talking about, which was from here at Trotter Road, continuing on down up to the end of his property here. And so I told him we would have to survey, and I want to have Frank look at that also before, so he knew exactly what we were looking at. This section of road here really doesn't need anything.
Okay.
It's good shape. We got fairly wide. The fence, what we was maintaining on this side, is fairly wide anyway. This area had two or three trees right here along this draw, and I have a bigger map that shows that a little better. This is the same area. There's currently a little creek and draw area that comes down, goes through a box that we widened back early 90s sometime. Charlie widened this box out right here. right in here was the trees. I had one dead tree and two, three trees that sat right next to the paved surface. And so when I showed Frank this area here and some other areas down there, he decided we could take these trees out because they're already on the right-of-way. We can make improvements and widen the shoulder here at this corner, widen the shoulder here, and that would solve the hazard, basically, with the road. And the road in here is 17 to 18 foot wide. It averages 17, 18, and over here it gets to be 20. Back this way, it's 19 and 20, and about average 18 in through here, so... He didn't really see the need, and the survey cost was between $2,500 and $3,500. If we was to fence this area, it would run over. I had it wrote down. $5,000, something or other. Anyway, we decided that the improvements we'd done here was enough to take care of this area, and there wasn't a need to really acquire additional right-of-way and fence it just to be fencing somebody's place is what it comes down to. Well, this guy doesn't agree. But he was under the impression when I first talked to him that all he had to do was donate right-of-way, we would furnish and install a fence.
We don't need it. Ultimately, you're saying, you guys say we don't need it.
My opinion is we're not going to benefit by acquiring additional right-of-way. I would agree to survey to find out what we have already. We might have enough right-of-way what improvement. So
you're here because he doesn't agree with what
he doesn't
said.
Agree, and he hung up on Frank. Okay.
Here's the reason that he went to them is he called me, mm-hmm. and he started talking about removing trees for safety purposes. I said, you'll have to talk to the road superintendent about that. Then he started in on this fence business. I said, and he'd already heard it. He said, I hear you build fence, and I'm needing fence built right now. He said, I'm either going to go ahead and build a fence or talk to the road superintendent. I said, call the road superintendent, check and see if you need fences trees taken out of the right of way, you make the deal with him. Mm-hmm. And I said, I mentioned your name at the time. So, I sicked him on him on the road and bridge, not knowing what his circumstances was, because he was telling me that I thought that he had dangerous curves that he was wanting to straighten out and all that kind of stuff. I said, you contact them and let them bring that to the commission.
Right, and I went down, met with him, drove this section of road, and what I was seeing, he's got one or two trees in here that could be removed. Whether they're on him or on us, I don't know without surveying. But they're really not that big a hazard here. The hazard is right here, and we've already taken care of that. And the trees was within, when they're sitting right on the edge of the road, that's within the road right away anyway. So that was, and Gene had already widened the shoulder, so we got enough width, and that's what the school bus was complaining about. The rest of it, basically, he wants fence put in now so he can put cattle on there, yeah. But I didn't see that we should expend the money to just building fence for the reason of building fence. And that's the reason I had Frank go look at this, to what do you determine to be a hazard enough that we should acquire that much and expend that kind of money. I got to get okay to survey and do that anyway. So Frank didn't see the hazard he seen was right here, a little bit right here. The real hazard right here at that road approach here, and that's something we got to talk about later. But that's not dealing with Mr. Cleveland.
We don't survey. That's their responsibility on something like this, right?
Well, if we see a hazard in a project, yes, we do the survey. Now, if it comes to the point where they're wanting a road taken in and it requires that, that's on them. Mm-hmm.
But you're saying you don't see a safety need, and you're satisfied. So I'm satisfied. You're satisfied.
Gene went and done some work on this road, and then he pulled off. He thought he pulled off. pulled off, but he was finished, right?
Yeah. He was basically finished with what we asked him to do at the time. Now, we need to put a little surface mix right there on that edge where he, but I want that shoulder time to settle and make sure compaction's good. But he'd done what he took care of the hazard there. And that was within the right way.
Did you say hung up on Frank?
Yeah, he hung up on Frank. Because he was expecting that we would go through here and build him fence and do all that. But we didn't, I didn't really see the need. And so, but we did look at the situation. We've got other hazards on the road that we need to look at, but that's not pertaining to this. So I just wanted to bring that to you, what we're dealing with. And so.
He hung up on Frank, doesn't want to talk about it. But anyway.
No, I just didn't even spend that money right now. So.
Okay, the other issue is the last item to complete Casey Road, and we're coming to a stalemate on this issue, and it has to deal with the rock filler. Here is the letter, basically, that we would replace the rock pillar. We took down salvaged rock, placed it on his property there, had it on a pallet. Frank found a contractor to rebuild the pillar at a location designated by Mr. Wyatt. And so I took pictures of the old one, had that, and that's reasonably what it looked like. Can you build this? And he said, no problem. I think there's enough stone there, we can just recreate it. Ron Weiss decided he wants two pillars smaller than the original to put in the front of his property because he wants to continue the vinyl fence and he wants two of them to make a gate at the front of his property, which adjoins State Highway 160.
Go with the initial agreement we've done. We went
and that's what Frank was. What we agreed on was to replace what was there before. Well, that's not what he wants, so he's changing it, not us. And we've had a contractor. Well, it's come to the point he doesn't want him on his property.
Well, so can I ask you a question? It hasn't been built yet, right? It
hasn't been built.
Do we know how much it's going to be cost to build that one pillar?
We had what's a cost of $500 is what this guy gave us the cost to build it.
So why don't we just give the guy $500 and he can build what he wants to build?
I think that's fair. I mean, will he, you have any idea of that?
I think what he wants is
two pillars.
He wants two pillars, and I think all said and done, he wants his man to do it and not our guy.
How about we give him a check for $500? So. Or pay the first $500 of the bill.
Whatever he wants to put there.
I mean, if it's going to cost us $500 to build what we promised.
Because even our contractor, Ian Witt, is saying that he don't think he can build two of them for $500.
That's not what we agreed. We agreed to one pillar replacement.
I agree with whatever you guys want to do, but we've way exceeded everything that we planned on doing on this flat property. We've got a water.
We've actually done more than what we initially, and part of it was due to drainage and different things, and he got a lot more, but we did have that part in writing. I would say
since we guaranteed to put back the pillar, we estimated $500, we'll give you $500. You guys with that?
Now, the original estimate, when I was dealing with this, I had Curtis Powell look at it, and him just looking at it, he said estimated around $1,200-$1,300. He no longer does that work, so when it comes time to do it,
the current estimate is
$500. Current estimate is $500.
$500.
And we have that in writing.
Yep. I would say we'll give you $500.
Okay.
And he can spend it however he wants to spend it.
Okay.
You guys good with that?
Yep.
That's it for Casey Road.
That's probably not the end of this conversation.
That's not the end of
this conversation.
I mean, Ron's the type of person, he ain't going to quit, but that's all we had in writing. So.
Okay.
That'll take care of that.
Kevin Creek closes tomorrow?
Yes.
We got our electronic signs up?
They're supposed to have. They're there. They were supposed to move them and reprogram them to read what they're supposed to. That was up to Boyce to do that. We furnished them two electronic signs. I think we were doing a
press release?
We did.
Okay.
It's already been posted.
And David Lundstrom was going to contact the MoDOT guy that does basically the same thing to make them aware of what we're doing there. And I am going to go by there because I do want to mention what your comment was, make sure we got enough people there that they can really make headway while we got...
There was an issue at Holiday Hills.
Good weather.
They
didn't maximize the time?
Well, they used most of the crew on another job that was more important to them, and they were late getting Holiday Hills done, and the sewer board, I found out yesterday, worked with them on that, treated them awful good, I think, and I was happy with it. I just kind of wanted Randy to keep his eye open that...
Well, I just
don't do that on there. That when he's out there to see if it looks like they've got
the only high side. I drove through yesterday. Noticed all the busy beavers working over on the 76 side. I just thought they'd do something on the other side at the same time.
They're right, and
nobody.
The only thing they've done over there, they put in silt fence. They've done some saw cutting on some approaches. And Scott had said yesterday in the progress Tuesday morning that they were planning on moving more equipment in, so I'm going to get back
Wednesday with
him and make sure that he gets more equipment in because they could be working on BB side starting
at the same
tomorrow.
Time. I mean, it's dry. It's dry.
You know, once we get it closed, I mean, they got a little bit of weather going to move in next week, but maybe
concern.
That won't hurt them too bad. That's mainly going to be fill on the BB side, and if it gets too wet on the 76, at least we can...
I just my concern was I saw the silt fence, I saw some straw, I saw some of this. I'm thinking, where is it?
And all that they could have done while it was raining, or what they'd done there.
Yes.
They done was
basically
what
I thought
there
was
dry. Things really need
it's
to happen.
It's been some trees.
But, 6 weeks is what.
Just
they
make sure the programmable signs are programmed, if you would.
Okay, I'm
I just
going
my concern is that. Oops.
Yeah, that.
And I want to make sure I understand correctly, because I made this comment. We didn't choose to close the Coon Creek. It was in the contract that was up to the contractor, and
right.
They exercised their option to close it, because our intention was never to close it. Right?
I don't remember that discussion, but I don't remember a lot of stuff, so it could very well happen.
Now, it's never completely closed.
Not
it's only closed to through traffic.
Yeah. Which is what people use it for, primarily.
They still got to keep access for school routes.
Oh, they do?
Type of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, yeah they got to keep it open for mail delivery, school routes, that type of thing. I mean,
emergency.
We didn't want to close for emergency and all that.
Perfect.
So, the only thing
I don't think we really backed off of.
Good. Okay.
Right. Okay. The only other issue that may come up, and I've got the Water District 2, and I mentioned this to Danny, right there at the fire hydrant on the 76 side, he's got a crossing that has a feeder line that feeds a couple of houses down Coon Creek. He's not sure what's there, so I've got him working with David Lundstrom to make sure that whatever is there, whatever is connection for their new water line, he's not going to have to be digging under pavement.
Yes.
At a later date, that he needs to do something with that now while construction's going on.
Yeah, we don't
on,
want
so.
To dig it up afterwards.
So, okay.
Under
that's
administrative,
all.
While Randy's still here, yesterday from Sewer Board, there was an issue on Willie Oaks. They had gone in and milled it.
Right.
It was a good thing, but they closed it. I mean, they were open. It wasn't safe. It was one lane. Randy worked with him, I think, done a very fine job. There was quite a conversation. It ended up late yesterday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, there was 9 of us. Great River, myself, the contractor, Hooker, anyway. We had a nice conversation. It wasn't out of line. It could have got into a big argument. So we don't need to argue. We just need to fix. So they agreed, and I haven't got back down there to look, to put in... bevel it or whatever how you want to say it.
Edge
so
treatment,
not,
they call it.
Edge treatment, so there's not 4-inch drop-offs. And I've made mention to the girls that if we can limit our Mondays afternoon meetings starting at 1:30 or 2, I'd kind of like to fall in on these construction meetings that Randy's been there and watched it carefully, but they have not been to the attitude that we feel like they should be.
The problem I have with this contractor is they don't care that much for about the public and public safety, in my opinion, when it comes down to it, because I got the call at 5:20, 5:15, 5:20 going home. We would like permission to one lane this road. They put themselves in that situation. To me, it's a scheduling issue. Why did you mill out a trench 7-8 inches deep, 5-6 feet wide, and now you've got one at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, I saw the picture.
We were there. So you made the best decision based off what they told you. The problem was they should have given you a whole lot more information,
right?
Or planned
them. And even if, what would they have done if I said no? I don't think they would have changed the thing.
No, it was
a technicality. They left alone and walked away from it. So
it was a technicality.
In fact, the way I understood it, you told them what to do yesterday, and they said they wasn't going to do it.
Right, they refused.
Until we had 9 people show up, did they change the thing?
Yeah, I hope they understand that lowest bid the next time. We have this is not a good reflection on the contract right now.
I really feel like we, the commission, the sewer district, ought to get a hold of somebody up the line and say exactly what you just
this
said.
This is not, I'm getting tons of complaints. Yeah, I had, during the sewer board meeting, I was up here just doing some administrative, and a gentleman came in.
Yeah.
And he wasn't too happy about the attitude of them brooming off a road into his yard, now he can't mow his yard.
Yeah, right. We're getting numerous complaints, right. Just little things that shouldn't be happening. I mean, if we were doing the work
down in his yard,
us county people were doing the work, we're getting them complaints, we would be right there taking care of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and most contractors would try to do the same thing, but that's,
I realize I'm in an attitude. Everybody knows that. You got an email yesterday afternoon about rocks in somebody's driveway.
By the way, physical. I was physically. That's the gentleman who came in.
Oh, he came in the office.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, you emailed.
Yep,
Graver. So it just worked out good timing. We went right by there, and where's the rocks?
Right?
That's it. That's the rocks. And they just set it out in the road. And in my opinion, don't want to offend anybody, I didn't make a deal that we just went on, but they have done some good things.
Okay.
The contractor. And I may have mentioned this before, but a lady that was at the first blasting meeting at the sewer board, I'd called her, tell her be sure that this is happening, the meeting, she was sick. She called me back and said thanks, blah, blah, and commented that the people had been good to her.
Good.
So it's not just a total big washout of my long story again.
I'm going to go down there more often.
I told the people in our 9 group meeting that I can see very clear I've got to come down here more often.
Yeah.
And so, if y'all can too, that'd be good.
Okay. Thank you, Randy.
That's
a lot. Moving on real quickly, we've been asked to write a letter of support for the Greens at Branson Hills. The Greens at Branson Hills is an affordable housing project for senior citizens. It is HCW Management Group is the organization doing it. It's a project. It's a 54 unit, 2 bedroom, 1 story duplex. So they're sets of 2. So they're 1 story duplexes, but 54 units total. So it would be, 20 whatever buildings. The estimated rent based off of affordable housing is around $500. It's going to be a 2-bedroom with attached garages. And we've been asked for our letter of support. So what the girls did is wrote one similar to what we've done in the past. And but this is the only uniqueness is it's for senior. It's 55 and over.
That's something different we've done.
Uh-huh. 60% of the AMI or less is their where they have to be, and the rent is right now is going to be $495. And I have a floor plan and a layout of the flat. If you guys read the letter, it's real. I wouldn't say generic, but it is a letter of support. I'm good with it because it's in keeping with our. So I would move that we send a letter of support as presented to Pete Ramsel for the Greens Project for Senior Affordable Housing.
I'll second that. Discussion?
You know that I have a discussion on every time that one of these come up.
The rent.
the rent, the fact that this one kind of limits the age group. I have yet, and I've not talked to any less than 10, maybe right. Could be approaching 20 individuals that I've sent to these low-income place housing places to try to
help them.
And I can't get any response. I got my response back from them is I can't get any response from the people to try to rent the place.
Okay.
And so I have a little bit of concern about that. As a matter of fact, the next time I'm gonna agree to go along with this, but they're gonna have to start. Next time I send a couple of people or a couple of people approach me about a certain area, I want to know why they haven't been either considered or haven't had even a contact with whoever's supposed to be doing the
renting. Well, I would suggest that we keep the IDA, the OED office over here, have your people call them and say, because they know who to contact at the, like on the Carmichael projects, HCW, because there's more groups doing it now, but
yeah.
I also know they're running pretty high occupancy, like 95% occupancy, so they're pretty full.
All in favor, say aye.
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 That's all we got today. And, oh, can we just, real quick under administrative, under the wellness?
Yeah.
Just real quick. I've got some new numbers here. There's some things that we've got to do just because we never finished it. This is just general discussion. Actually, let me do this. I'm going to repost it for wellness. That way we can just vote on something because we've got to finish when we did the demo down there, we left it in a disrepair state, which is not safe for the sprinkler systems. Like, they're just dangling. We have lights that are temporary construction lights that are just exposed wires, and we got some ductwork that needs to be finished, so we need to finish that space. But let me spend some money. Let me post it so we can spend some money on that. No matter what we do, we got to do those things. So,
what meeting was I at that you said something about? You thought there's maybe we could come up about 50% of the cost.
Maybe 100% of the cost. 90%. It was. I talked to Barbara Bowley, and by us doing the dual purpose, your suggestion of dual purpose for a tornado shelter, we should be able to get reimbursed maybe about $50,000 because we're making a public tornado shelter. I found out that we can make that the hour. I talked to Renee yesterday on the hours. We have a maintenance person here at 5 a.m., and the last maintenance person goes home at 1 a.m. That day. So we literally can have it unlocked for most of the time, or we'll have someone here to unlock it, you know, for dual purpose. So personnel-wise, we'll have someone here to open it anyway, which is really good for that.
Yep.
But Barbara thought there was some money there, and she's checking for a tornado shelter for the side.
Be awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we're working on.
You know, on that emergency line, I need to talk to Chris first, I guess, but you know, you got the radios. I've got one at home.
Uh-huh.
I hate to admit this, but I had trouble getting it programmed.
Uh-huh. The frequency? Yeah.
So I'm not even using it. But that's one of the most valuable things is those emergency radios.
Weather bands, yeah.
Because how many times do you sleep when a storm comes?
Better wake you up.
Yeah. If you got it working. But if you don't,
It sends the alarm. Anytime there's a watch or a warning, you can set it for that. And you know what we're talking about?
Yeah. There we got one.
Yeah.
It's, so I don't know.
Yeah.
If we get that done, we need to have the sheriff's department. I assume they've got one. And they're following it anyway,
right,
or something. That there's a three or four people that they call if it's after 1 o'clock. You beat it down there, whether it's county commissioner or Renee or who it is, and get them doors open.
Right. Or you say phone up the dispatch. I mean, a key at the dispatch. Break this inside of emergency.
I think they'll have difficulty.
I think they will.
That would be the easiest. Thank you.
All righty then.
Recess?
Recess until...
I will never look at a recess the same way except when Trey Paulson said,
that was hilarious.
Recess? Let's go outside and play.
That was hilarious.
That was funny.